The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with KD's comeback in New York. Is Durant positioning the Nets for a postseason run? Our experts are going to dive right on in. Plus, Stefon Diggs strikes it rich in Buffalo. Are he and the Bills the team to beat in a totally loaded AFC? And just one day after the Lakers got bounced, LeBron is talking about joining forces with one of the NBA's biggest superstars. Get Up starts right now. Hey, everyone. Welcome into Get Up. I am Shay Cornette. That man is Chris Canty. And that man right there is Jordan Cornette. And we've got more along with us. Kimberly Martin is here. Sam Acho is here. And Brian Windhorst is here as well. We've got a lot to get to this morning. We start in New York with the game of the night. Nets, Knicks, Madison Square Garden. Does it get better than that? There's Kevin Durant. Pick things up in the second quarter. Knicks leading by seven. RJ Barrett. Nice little drive, spin, finish, and one. Knicks take a 9-point lead. Less than a minute left in the half here. Knicks leading by 15. Barrett drives, passes Jericho Sims. Nice slam there. Knicks up 17 at the half. Let's go to the third quarter here. Knicks again having a good first half. Nets down 13 at this point. They had trailed by as many as 21. That's Durant from long range, and it is good. So here come those Nets. Fourth quarter, Nets down 7. Durant, Kyrie Irving all day long. Nets down 4 now. Moments later, Nets down 3. That's Irving again. Fast break the other way to Durant. Nets went on a 24-4 run to pull within one. And so 4:15 remaining here. Game tied at 96 again with Durant. He would finish with 32, 10, and 11. Nets up 7 here. Shot clock winding down. And let's do it again here. Durant to Mills. Obi Toppin cannot stop him. And Kyrie Irving's like, hello, yeah, remember me? I haven't been able to play here, but now I can, and that's why we get this dub. And so here's what it looks like right now. The Nets host the Cavaliers on Friday night. If they win that and then beat the Pacers on Sunday, Brooklyn would finish with the 7 seed. So they need to basically win one game and two chances at home in the play-in to qualify for the postseason. So things are looking out good here for those Brooklyn Nets. And so, Wendy, what is your reaction at this point to the late season surge by Brooklyn? Everything seems to be going in their favor.
I know. After everything that happened with Kyrie, after everything that happened with Harden, after not getting Ben Simmons after the trade, here they are with destiny in their hands. They beat the Cavs tomorrow night at home. I would say they're probably 90% to have the 7 seed and have the matchup situation that they want. Now, while I can tip my cap to that, I have to say they needed Durant and Irving to play every second of the second half of this win last night against, frankly, not a very good Knicks team. And if you go back and look at the last 2 weeks, Steve Nash has been riding Kyrie and Durant very hard. They lead the league in minutes. They are number one and number two in minutes over the last 2 weeks. Over the last 6 games, Kyrie's at 42 minutes a game and Durant's at 41. And so their playoffs have already started. And I'll never forget what Durant has said about last season. I know everybody talks about how if his foot wasn't on the line, that they would have gone to the finals. And Durant said that's not true because there was no way he could have kept up playing that minute load through 2 more series. And I would say, just as a little yellow flag, that the minute load for these two guys is already creeping way up before the play-in tournament even begins.
So Wendy's kind of taking this like glass half empty approach. Is there a glass half full approach perhaps here for the Nets? I mean, they've won 2 in a row.
I mean, I would say it's even further than half empty because the biggest question mark is, well, maybe we can get Ben Simmons back and he can help us with some defensive deficiencies. Even Ben Simmons' prowess defensively is not enough for this group. So that extra bullet in the chamber that may be delivered with a Ben Simmons return ain't gonna be enough. Defensively, this group quite simply doesn't have it. Is there now a little bit of intrigue? Of course, we've got the Nets, we've got KD, we've got Kyrie going into the postseason, and they're in a good spot controlling their own destiny as a 7 seed. That may get you through the play-in, great. But as it's set up right now, they're supposed to play the number 2 seeded Celtics, if it all lays out as it currently is. You don't think Jason Tatum, and you don't think Brown and Tatum want that type of matchup? Tatum gave these dudes 54 last time out. He's probably going to be thinking, I'm going for 60 against this perimeter defense. What it comes down to is there is no savior waiting in the wings, even if Ben Simmons does return. This team is who they are right now. Heck, Joe Harris, that elite spacer that's out right now with injury and is not going to be seen for the remainder, he's probably maybe their best defender. That's how bad defensively this group is. It's not sustainable, especially with the usages that Wendy's talking about. They can't make a run.
Okay, so they can't make a run. Wendy, what do you think the ceiling is for this Nets team, given how much Kevin and Kyrie have to play at this point?
Delicious, meet nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Well, I will say this, you know, Durant has been, you know, a full believer in just let us get in and it doesn't matter. And when you've got a talent like Durant, you know, obviously that inspires confidence. And I will tell you this, as I talk to people around the league, and you're going to probably see it over this weekend, nobody wants to face these guys. And yeah, you are right, Jordan. Jason Tatum is probably going to average 35 points a game in a series against the Nets. But they're not going to have Robert Williams. They're not going to be at their tip-top shape. So, you know, getting the Celtics with, you know, slightly wounded is probably what the Nets would prefer. So while I'm sitting here saying I think they can win 3 series as currently they're playing, I understand why they have this growing belief that they can pull this off.
And Wendy, I guess bigger than that, as we lean on the usage of Kyrie and KD, what about some of these problematic comments? And look, I'm not trying to be a drama king here and take it too far, but you've got supplementary pieces and do-it-all guard like Bruce Brown openly saying after practice at the top of the week, look, this is a grind. Like, well, I thought we were lacking energy in practice. And then we hear Kyrie saying it's March Madness. This is the go time. I'm looking at teams like the Bucks. I'm looking at the teams like the Celtics. And yes, Robert Williams needs a return. I'm looking at the Heat. These teams know who they are right now. I think the perfect illustration of what we saw with the Suns, or excuse me, with the Nets, was that game versus the Knicks. You can't give up 67 points in a first half to the New York Knicks and convince me that you came back in the second half so they're going to be okay. It's not just get into the postseason and things get figured out. It's not just KD and Kyrie have a lot on their shoulders. This entire group, Shea, has it on them.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Durant looked horrible in that first half against the Knicks, too. He had no rebounds and 9 points. Also, they're a game back now from the Cavaliers, who they have to face tomorrow night. That obviously is going to have huge implications. Guys, thanks. We'll revisit this later on. Let's go to the NFL, because the Buffalo Bills have locked up Josh Allen's favorite target, Stephon Diggs, with a 4-year extension worth $104 million with $70 million guaranteed, sources told Adam Schefter. Diggs is coming off his second straight Pro Bowl season, and so Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs are making some money, let's just say that. They now have $220 million in combined guaranteed money, which is the second most for any current quarterback wide receiver teammates. Only the Browns combo of Watson and Cooper have more, with a combined $290 million guaranteed, which really just shakes me because the two of them haven't even played one game together, but we'll discuss that another day. Kimberly, let's go here to you first. What does this Diggs extension essentially mean for the Bills and other teams?
Well, for the Bills, it means GM Brandon Bean is rewarding guys who are big locker room leaders, and he's rewarding Josh Allen's best friend. I mean, the bromance in Buffalo continues between these two. What it means for other teams, though, will be interesting, and even for the Bills on their own roster, because, Shay, you know, Stephon Diggs had 2 years left on this deal. And here's a situation where ownership the GM decides to pay him before he really has to. But that shows in Buffalo, we want to make you happy. If you're a contributor, if you're a big-time contributor, we'll make you happy. But what happens when all these wide receivers start setting the market higher and higher and higher? Teams have to decide, should we match that? Should we pay them before they actually need to be paid? And that's something that I think will trickle around the league.
Sam, what do you think? Like, does this pattern with wide receivers concern you at all? I mean, Diggs, yes, he is a good enough player to obviously get his due, but this is now becoming a pattern with wide receivers.
Shay, you're talking to the wrong person. This doesn't concern me. This excites me. As a former player, I love seeing players get paid. So I couldn't be more excited. That's from a getting paid level. But on a deeper level, I played under Brandon Bean. I played in Buffalo for a little bit. So I understand how they think. This is brilliant and a brilliant move by Brandon Bean and the Buffalo Bills. Sure, you could wait another 2 years until Stephon Diggs' contract expired. But imagine how much the salary cap would have risen by then. Imagine how much the market would be higher by then. Pay him now, and in a year or two or three, this huge contract will look a lot smaller in comparison. And so I love the move. It doesn't make Buffalo any better, right? All you're doing is paying a guy who was already excellent. You're just paying him to stay. Doesn't make him better in the short term, but in the long term, this is a brilliant move by the Buffalo Bills.
Canty, how significant is this?
I think it's significant, and I would push back on what Acho said. I do think it makes the Buffalo Bills better from a culture standpoint. If you're Brandon Bean, you're trying to make sure that everybody understands if you produce for this franchise, you're going to get your money. And if you look at Steph Diggs, since he became a Buffalo Bill, he's in top five in receptions, top five in yards, and top five in first down receptions. How big is that for Josh Allen? So this is a guy that's produced, probably exceeded the expectations that they had for him since they traded for him. And beyond all of that, he's made Josh Allen that much better. Yeah. So I think from that standpoint, you take care of one of your guys, one of your team leaders in a season where you're expecting to compete at a championship level. So you get ahead of this problem before it becomes an issue in your locker room. Yeah. It's not going to be a distraction as the season looms. This is a team that's the favorite to win the Super Bowl. They're the only team in the NFL that's returning from a top five offense and a top five defense in 2021. This is a championship team. They're entering into a championship window. Stephon Diggs is a huge part of it.
Okay, so then to go along with that, you just talked about it. This is a favorite now to win the chip because of what they've added. Not only in paying Stephon Diggs, obviously they've added Von Miller to the fold, and we know that Josh Allen is there for the long haul. How much pressure is on this Bills team?
Oh, it's huge pressure. I mean, especially on Josh Allen, because now your general manager is giving you everything you need in order to succeed. He's locked up your number one receiver. One of the glaring weaknesses for the Buffalo Bills was their pass rush. Well, guess what? We're going to go out and give Von Miller a bag and add him to a group that has Boogie Basham, Greg Rousseau, and A.J. Epenesa. And if you have a prolific offense like the Bills do, you're probably going to be playing with a lead a lot of the time. So guess what? You're going to need the pass rush to close out games. So I think the Buffalo Bills have all the makings of a championship contender. Now the pressure is on Josh Allen to produce, and we can't minimize the loss of offensive coordinator Brian Daboll. I think that's one of those things that could potentially loom large. Ken Dorsey is stepping into that role, so he's familiar with the things that Josh Allen does at a high level. But we're still talking about some change in terms of the sequencing of play calling, the development of game plans. So that is a little bit of new learning for Josh Allen. So again, the pressure has got to be on Josh Allen. They gave him a fancy new contract last offseason. Now it's time to produce.
Okay, everyone just remember everything Canty said, because we're going to come back to this later on in terms of how much pressure is on the Bills. I can see Acho there smiling ear to ear with his green jacket. We'll get to it a little bit. Coming up, Patrick Mahomes is putting in work with one of his new weapons, but can any amount of reps make the Chiefs serious contenders this season? Plus, LeBron James is talking about joining forces with Steph Curry. Ryan Windhorst is here to tell us what the heck that's all about. More Get Up coming your way next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get Up is brought to you by Burger King. Try the new Whopper Melt and decide if it's Whopper worthy. All right, Patrick. Patrick Mahomes and the newly signed Chief Juju Smith-Schuster got some work together down in Tyler, Texas. Juju will look to fill the void in the Chiefs wide receiver room left by the trade of Tyreek Hill. But these two putting in some early work, getting to know each other a little bit. Obviously not there in Kansas City because this is in Tyler, Texas. And so, Sam Acho, what do you make of this? I know this can obviously build chemistry. They're not in Kansas City. They're in Texas. You like this early work?
I love the work, and not just because of what you see on the field, but it's what we don't see that's going on off the field. It's the dinners that they're going to go to together, the lunch they're going to have. We talked about Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp, how when Matthew Stafford signed with the LA Rams, Cooper Kupp was with him for hours as he signed autographs, as Matthew Stafford was doing his autograph signing, building chemistry, going to each other's houses. This is the stuff that makes quarterbacks and receivers and those combinations great. So I couldn't be more excited about this off-the-field chemistry that's being built outside of the facility.
Yeah, okay. And so you're right. Like, this is what we do in television sometimes too, right? Like, you just need to spend more time with one another to understand tendencies. But the truth is, they don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. And this was a 1-2 punch in terms of what they could do in Kansas City with both Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill. And so, Kimberly, how worried are you, or how worried should Chiefs fans be that they don't have that number one, and now they're relying on someone like Juju Smith-Schuster, who's still getting to know Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah, I don't want to sound the alarms and say worry, right? But if I'm a Chiefs fan and I'm looking at it on paper and I'm like, okay, so we just lost Tyreek and we replaced him with Juju and Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who is a speedster, so I get it. Like, you know, we're talking on a production call. It's almost like you said, they put two guys together to make Tyreek. But here's the thing. Will this offense be better? I don't know. Will it be more balanced? Hopefully. Because last year, if I'm not mistaken, the Chiefs ranked fourth in success in runs, but 31st in frequency. I'm hoping that Andy Reid will commit to the run this season and sort of just have it more balanced. And when you look at Tyreek Hill, he is such a dynamic playmaker. You cannot replace him with one guy. But hopefully, you know, this will spark some new ideas. We'll see a new Chiefs offense that is just as explosive.
Yeah, and she's right. You can't replace him with one guy. And so that's why it feels like they brought in
someone
like Juju Smith, right? And Valdes-Scantling, two guys in one, a speedster, a route runner. But how concerned are you that they don't have Tyreek Hill there and they need to rely on this early work to try and establish chemistry?
Well, Shay, I hate being in this position because I'm disagreeing with Acho, I'm disagreeing with Kimberly, but the reality is that
what
I trust Andy Reid to be able to figure this thing out. He's going to figure it out. When you look at Andy Reid, since he's been the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, 7 of the 9 years, they've had a top 10 offense in terms of points. You're talking about them winning the division 6 out of the 9 years and never having a losing season. So I'm not really worried about that. Can the offense be better? Yeah, it absolutely can be better because Pat Mahomes can be better. We got to remember, this is still an ascending player. We haven't seen the best that Pat Mahomes has to offer. Now, I'm not minimizing the significance of losing a guy like Tyreek Hill, but I also recognize that the Kansas City Chiefs have a hell of a lot of draft capital that they can throw at the receiver position to try to bring in more dynamic playmakers on the edges of that offense. So what I would say is the Chiefs are not done this offseason in adding to their skill position core. And I got to believe that between Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Eric Bieniemy, they will figure out a way to mitigate the loss of Tyreek Hill.
Quickly, we only have 30 seconds. Do you have the Chiefs winning this division?
No doubt. Why would I not? They've won it 6 years in a row.
Sam, what about you?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Kimberly?
It's a clean sweep.
There we go. We're on the same page. We're on the same page.
All right, we'll leave it right there because there is other sports news going on today, like the Masters. It's a tradition unlike any other. Thursday and Friday at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on ESPN and the app. We'll have exclusive first and second round coverage of the Masters from Augusta, the year's first major. Once again, ESPN Plus will have featured hole and featured group coverage all 4 rounds, and SportsCenter will have dedicated coverage all week long. Every April 15th is a special day in baseball, but this year, it's the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson shattering the color barrier and setting the stage for momentous change in society. Many of the biggest names in baseball history followed in Robinson's footsteps, but the number of African Americans in the game has dwindled. Today, a current Black star reflects on race, Robinson, and being a game changer in his own right. It's part of our series, Black History Always.
We know what 42 means. Type of player he was, type of person he was. You know how he shifted the culture. If it wasn't for him, then I wouldn't be putting his big league uniform on. You walk through those doors, I mean, you don't really see a lot of black guys. It's hard because, you know, the people around you can't relate. Yeah, they're relatable with baseball ways, but I needed more so culture relatable. And so that part was tough on me. It took me a while to, you know, get comfortable in my skin. I didn't really have friends in baseball, you know. Most of my friends played basketball or football or did other things. I only chose baseball because I had a million things going on at home outside of, you know, sports. And baseball was just another outlet for me not to go home to, you know, not be able to be around bad things. And that's why I play the way I do. I play with a lot of passion, a lot of energy. It's a cool sport. I mean, only if you make it cool. When you come into a game that's been boring for so long and you do something different, then that's gonna shake up, you know, shake up some people.
Tim crushes this ball. He throws the bat, the ball goes flying, it is gone!
My biggest thing was when I did the backflip, people didn't like that. But you gotta understand, you know, I come from a culture where there's a lot of passion, a lot of excitement. People don't really know what I've been through to kind of get to where I am today. So, you know, all that was just balled up into excitement. And, you know, for me to do that, that kind of echoed around, you know, the game of baseball. And now you see where we are today. I mean, that's what we're promoting. We're promoting let the kids play. We're promoting bat flip. And I'm glad that, it's helping the game, you know, move and shift and kind of, you know, making people, you know, look at themselves and kind of open up and be open a little bit more. You got to think about where I play at. I'm on the South Side where most of those kids are African American. So, you know, they look up to me and for me to be in the position that I'm in, you know, I think it's only right that I be relatable to them. Talking about black people in the game of baseball, it's kind of tough, you know, because most black people don't play the game. I'm definitely, you know, thankful just to be able to be open a little bit and let you guys into how I'm feeling and what Jackie Robinson meant to me. Every black kid should be thankful and grateful for everything that he went through, everything that he did. He left a huge mark and it's still going.
In 2017, the White Sox shortstop started Anderson's League of Leaders, a foundation for at-risk youth dedicated to his best friend who lost his life to gun violence after coming to the aid of someone else. Please join us again tomorrow as we count down to April 15th with another firsthand reflection in our series, Jackie to Me. Coming up on Get Up, one day after the Lakers were eliminated from the playoffs, we're hearing LeBron talk about joining forces with Steph Curry. Just what is going on with King James? We'll discuss it. Plus, Gronk remains undecided about what his football future is. What does it mean for Tampa Tom and his quest for his eighth ring? It's all coming up on Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up. Let's start things off with a little eye candy here. A little no-look pass from Luka Doncic. And Vince Carter's with us here this morning. Vince, what do you think about this?
Yes, yes. Luka's on-court awareness, his ability just to no-look pass on time, on target, is up there with some of the best in the game. You think of CP3, even Steph Curry's ability just to no-look pass to guys, but it's in the pocket, catch and shoot, some of the best.
See, you know, Luka doesn't get enough love, in my opinion, but that's a discussion for another day. Obviously, Luka Doncic plays for a very good team. We're going to talk about a bad team instead, and that would be the Los Angeles Lakers. They've officially been eliminated from playoff contention, setting up a fascinating offseason in L.A. LeBron was asked about who he might like to play with in the future, and here is how he responded. Bronny is my number one on my list. He's number one on my list, and that I want to play with for sure. Of course, that would be his son. But then he went on to say Steph Curry is the one I would want to play with for sure in today's game. Steph Curry responded to LeBron's comments saying we could all live in that fantasy world. Now, I want to point out that LeBron said this on The Shop, which is his own show and is also created by him and produced by him. But anyways, Wendy, your reaction to LeBron saying that he would like to play with one Steph Curry?
Well, this is something that's gone back to before last season. Steph was a pretty serious rival of LeBron's, and all of a sudden he changed his tone, and I think it was related to the fact that Steph was an upcoming free agent. Subsequently, he signed a massive contract to pretty much end his career in Golden State, so I'm not so focused on that. I'm sure they'd love to play together, but it's not functional, to be honest with you. I would say something else, though, as part of this answer, and LeBron was having fun here, to be clear. He wasn't making a declarative statement. He talked about how much he admires Luka Doncic, and that is something that you should put in your back pocket. Don't ever judge LeBron 100% on his words. Judge him on his actions. The best way you can see how LeBron feels about people is who he drafts in his All-Star draft. Shea, he has drafted Luka Doncic all 3 years he's been an All-Star. He tried to recruit Luka Doncic to his brand within Nike a few years ago. Luka picked the Jordan brand instead. He, I think, would also love to play with Luka. And in the fantasy world, to use Steph Curry's words, if you want to enter the fantasy realm, that is something that I think is more worthy of having a discussion about as opposed to Steph. Down the line, I don't think LeBron's going anywhere in the short term.
Okay, I see Vince Carter kind of doing a sideways nod here, so I'll let you take this. He's thrown out a lot of things here, Luka, Steph. But the thing that stays constant here is LeBron talking about who he wants to play with. Vince, what do you think?
Right, I mean, that's the alarming part of it right now. It's like he's already, I mean, the next day he's talking about guys he liked to play with instead of fixing the current issue on his team. But the Steph thing, I agree with you, Wendy. That's this fantasy world, and we kind of leave that alone. You know, my thing with LeBron is if you play with Luka, Luka is a ball-dominant guard. LeBron's a ball-dominant guard, just like everybody else who's come in with him who needs the ball. Let's say Russell Westbrook, a guy who needs the ball in his hand. Well, are you willing to sacrifice a little bit for the good of Luka Doncic or Steph Curry and allow those guys to still be the stars, because LeBron is used to having the ball in his hand a lot as well. So that's just something to consider, because you've seen guys come in there and hasn't played well because they don't have the ball in hand, because LeBron likes to dictate how things work.
Yeah, and it hasn't worked out great with Russell Westbrook, that's for sure. Jay, what do you think?
Vince, Wendy, you know, I got to be honest. I'm cool with LeBron trying to be GM anymore. That ship has sailed. We heard Magic come out here on the ESPN platforms and say, look, it could have been DeMar DeRozan. It could have been Buddy Hield. Alex Caruso could have stayed. And that's not the path they went. They brought in Russ. They brought in AD. And yes, AD brought the title 2 seasons ago in the bubble. But this Russ thing has been a nightmare. So I really don't want LeBron playing GM any longer. And I got to take it a little bit further. I'm a LeBron stan. I love it. But this is the team that he chose. Look, my wife, she probably loved to be with George Clooney, but you know what? She chose me. So we're riding this thing together. That's how it's going to play out at the end of the day. Look, he's got to find ways not to. I want to be here. I want to be here. No, no, no. You're with the elite. You're with the storied franchise of the LA Lakers. You got to figure out how to play alongside Russ, how to unlock him. I think it's using him like a Draymond Green, not allowing him to handle the ball, play him as a five, spread this whole thing out, conversation for another day. But ultimately, when you look at this Lakers squad, if LeBron does elect to go anywhere else, this will be the first time I question a move like that. Look, he left Cleveland early on in his career. He needed to get out of there. Understood. He went to Miami. He got an education on how to be a champion. He left. Understood. He got a championship in Cleveland, finally delivered one, left. Understood. If he leaves this Lakers franchise, as he made this mess, this will tarnish his legacy. Not the season that was, but if he goes ahead and says, I'm going somewhere else, what he would have done to this storied franchise, that would be the problem.
Okay, first of all, in case you don't know, this is my husband, Jordan
Garnett.
Oh,
that'd be weird otherwise if people
put
two and two together.
If they didn't put our last name together.
No, the host is with me now. Yeah, that'd be
exactly.
Weird.
Exactly. But Wendy, your thoughts on what Jordan is saying here in terms of LeBron, and if he did make a move out of L.A., this is the time that we would judge him.
Yeah, first off, Jordan, just to be clear, he didn't tarnish the Lakers. He brought him a championship. There's a banner up there, number 17.
100%.
You know, that's for sure. And I'm not saying he's going anywhere. In fact, I don't even really think he has the option of going anywhere. But I'm just saying that when LeBron talks about guys he wants to play with, it's more interesting to me the concept. I'm going to underline that. The concept of Luka, who he has shown an affinity for significantly over recent years. And by the way, that's not a surprise. But one of the reasons he got Russell Westbrook, which was, by the way, Jordan, again, not to pick on you, was endorsed by Rob Pelinka, was endorsed by ownership, was endorsed by Anthony Davis, and was, of course, endorsed by LeBron. It was to share the ball handling so he didn't have to work as hard. So he is attracted to playing with other ball handlers at this stage.
Vince, quickly,
well,
go
Wendy,
ahead.
Wendy, that's my thing, is that, you know, it was to share the ball handling responsibilities, and then it became LeBron kind of dominating the ball and Russ playing off the ball a little more. And that was kind of my concern. It's like, it sounded good in the beginning, and it was more of a how long would this last with LeBron not having the ball, and then all of a sudden he's like, I got it. And you're seeing Russ run into the corner. You know, and that was my question from the beginning. Will you allow Russ to have the ball and be a decision maker and playmaker and be the guy that we know Russ to be?
And we're on a precipice of watching Tiger Woods turn around and play golf when we didn't think he'd have his leg or walk again. I want to see my legends. I want to see my guys come out there and say, look, this is not how this was supposed to go. But I am one of the greats, and I am going to fix this. That's what I want to see. There's no question that he didn't tarnish the legacy. He brought a title, but he fell flat on his face this past season, and you got to see him turn that around. That's what a great we want to do.
All right, we're going to leave this right here. We'll have more on this conversation a little bit later on. But you see Vince Carter right there. You can see more through the eyes of Vince Carter on Vince's Places. It's streaming right now exclusively on ESPN+. You can explore the expansive world of basketball again through our own Vince Carter's eyes. Check it out right now on ESPN+. So in case you don't know, it's also opening day in baseball. Let's go. And because Buster Olney is just so hip, we're going to debut a new segment called Bust a Move, in which you're going to run through three storylines that have you excited for this upcoming season. Good morning to you, Buster. What do you got? Go ahead and bust a move.
All right, I'm excited about Shohei Ohtani, who, of course, had the greatest season we've never seen before, 2021, with a two-way player that he was, 46 homers, 103 runs, a 3.18 ERA. Joe Madden said, we might not ever see that again. The Angels are so good last year in communicating with Ohtani about getting rest. He was able to pull it off. We'll see if he can do it this year as the Angels try to get back into the playoffs. I'm excited to see Bobby Witt Jr., who's my choice for American League Rookie of the Year. He's going to be starting today at third base for the Kansas City Royals. This is an absolute superstar on the rise. He can hit. He can hit for power. He's got speed. He, I think, is the best prospect the Royals have had since the young George Brett. Personality-wise, he reminds you a lot of Patrick Mahomes. And I'm excited to see the return of the Blue Jays offense that was so dominant in the last 2 months of last year. In fact, I had members of the Yankees and Red Sox tell me that they were relieved that the Blue Jays didn't get into the postseason because they thought they were the best team in the American League down the stretch. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Bo Bichette, and of course, George Springer back. He was healthy in the second half of last year. They went 48-30, games in which George Springer played. To me, this is a team that's going to win this division.
Okay, so the Blue Jays coming in hot here on opening day, but you sort of mentioned the Yankees there. What are the biggest questions facing the Yankees here as we gear up for opening day?
Number one, can their defensive upgrades be enough? Look, their fan base is going nuts because they didn't sign a Corey Seager. They didn't sign a Carlos Correa. They went for the more subtle upgrades. Defensive improvements at catcher, at third base, with Josh Donaldson now installed in that spot. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa takes over at shortstop. Gleyber Torres is now at second base full-time. They brought back Anthony Rizzo. So their defense should be better. Their run prevention should be better. Which leads me to my second question. Do they have enough depth in their starting pitching behind Gerrit Cole? Jameson Taillon said injury issues in the past. Same thing with Luis Severino. There's not a lot of margin for error. You can expect that during the course of the year, the Yankees will probably be in the marketplace looking for help.
Okay, let's go across town now and talk about this Mets team because they have so many question marks. I mean, you could go DeGrom, you could go 100 different ways, but what are your expectations for the Mets here?
Yeah, my three X factors for the Mets is DeGrom. How many innings can he throw this year? Look, he's probably going to miss at least 2 months, which would mean by the time he returns to the mound, he will have missed almost a full calendar year. He's had a ton of injuries. Will he actually contribute anything? Second X factor, Buck Showalter is their manager, brings a lot of experience. Nobody's better at running a bullpen. He's got instant credibility with the players. He will help. The biggest X factor, the money of owner Steve Cohen, who's made it very clear, cost be damned, he's going to do whatever he can to get this team over the top. So when we get to midseason and the Mets have a couple holes, as inevitably always emerge for contenders, you know that Cohen's going to step up, pay the price, probably build a record payroll. It makes the Mets really dangerous with Cohen opening his wallet for the front office.
Hey, Buster, I know today is opening day, so I just got to know, how'd you wake up this morning? Did you go get a cup of coffee? Did you run outside? Like, this has been a long time coming, it feels like, for baseball fans.
Yeah, on opening day, you don't need a cup of coffee. You
are fired up
and ready to go. I can see Truist Park right across the street. I can't wait to walk over there later.
Buster, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you in just a little bit. Go. Maybe you will have a cup of coffee now that you've got the juices running. Coming up, is Tom Brady getting his most important weapon back in Tampa Bay? And if he doesn't, does he still have a shot at an eighth ring? We'll dive in next. This is Get Up. Welcome back to Get Up. You know, despite Tom Brady's return from retirement, his former teammate, Rob Gronkowski, not ready to return to the field just yet, or at least let us know if he's going to. Gronk spoke with TMZ Sports about his possible return to the NFL.
If I knew I started, you know, catching some passes, that, you know, my head would have started turning like, oh crap, man, I got to get back out in the field. And right now, I'm not ready to get back out in that field. I'm not ready to commit to the game of football right now.
All right, I have a lot of things to say about that video. Number one, the glasses.
So
I'm not sure.
Not sure
how to take someone seriously with that. And number two, this just sounds like someone a little bit afraid of commitment. But anyways, the question here for you, Acho, is do the Bucks need Gronk to make a title run? Is he the missing puzzle piece here?
I don't think he is. And I think the Bucks need more than just Gronk if they want to get back to that title run conversation. Defensively, specifically, you're losing out on guys, at least haven't signed back. Ndamukong Suh, JPP. Your defensive coordinator is now your head coach. He's still calling plays. There's a little bit less focus there. So Gronk or no Gronk, the Buccaneers have some issues they need to address if they want to really make a real Super Bowl run.
Canty, what do you think?
I don't think the Bucs are going to find out whether or not they have to worry about trying to figure it out without Gronk. I think Gronk is coming back. What I got from that video was, it's spring. We're in April. I don't want to do the off-season training program. I don't want to do OTAs. I don't want to do mini camp. And I'm really not feeling a full training camp. So eventually I'm going to give them my answer, and my answer is going to be yes. But we got to keep in mind, Gronk has played 11 seasons in the National Football League. And anybody that's played that long will tell you they don't want to go through all of that. They just want to show up when the regular season starts and play games. Now, to Acho's point, he's absolutely right. The biggest X factor is, how does Todd Bowles handle being a head coach the second time around? Does he learn the lessons that sabotaged his tenure with the Jets? And can he apply him in this situation for a team that's markedly better and that has championship aspirations?
Okay, I hear you, because this is, it seems to be a theme when we're talking especially to guys who played in the league, is that they don't want to go through the offseason workouts.
No.
But Gronk, Kimberly, like rocking the glasses and laughing about it, like, I'm not ready to commit. Do you think he does head back to Tampa Bay with Tom?
Oh, yeah.
100%. Right now, it's the spring, and it'll be the summer of Gronk. Those glasses said it all. He's trying to have his me time. But by week one, I expect Gronk to be in Tampa, dressed in a uniform and playing with Tom Brady. Now, so I agree with Canty there. Now, here is where I will disagree with my brother, Sam Acho. When he's saying, I don't think that Gronk is the biggest need for this team. The Tampa Bay Bucks have the best red zone offense with these two guys together. Tom Brady's red zone touchdown to interception ratio, 66-0 in Tampa, and it's 48-0 with Gronk. So you cannot tell me that Gronk being somewhere else besides on the field with Tom Brady is not a big deal. Now, they do have other roster needs. But Gronk, getting him back, those glasses off, that's also a big priority.
Acho, what do you think?
Well, I'll say this. To the point of needs, I understand that. But Chris Godwin's going to be coming back healthy. That's going to be a huge need that's going to be filled. Mike Evans is still there. They signed back Leonard Fournette. So there are other pieces as well that are important. So I think my biggest issue is the idea that just because Tom Brady's quarterback means we're automatically going to win. Now, he gives you one of the best chances to go win Fair. A Super Bowl, but there are other pieces that are now missing, i.e. head coach, right? A new head coach. Can Todd Bowles do it again? Mm-hmm. And also other pieces defensively that you need to address as well. Those are just internally, not to mention the LA Rams got some beasts on their defense and offense as well. So that's what we need to be talking about more than just Gronkowski.
Do you think that if Gronk returns, and I know you think he will, do you think that makes the Bucs the favorite in the NFC?
No, I still think that belongs to the LA Rams. There's no reason to think that the defending champs can't get it done again. I mean, when you look at what they did in the offseason, replacing Robert Woods with Allen Robinson added that, and that defense that they tout, Bobby Wagner being in the middle of it, that is going to be the favorite going into this season in the conference, no doubt about it.
It's hard to disagree with that, obviously, since the Rams are holding up a Super Bowl ring right now. All right, let's get to the NFL draft, because there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to need to build through the draft. And Acho, we're just 3 weeks away. Let's go through your draft guide, starting here with Kayvon Thibodeau.
Number one, Kayvon Thibodeau is better than advertised. There's so much talk about him slipping down draft boards and doesn't have work ethic. This dude is a monster. From the start, the time he was a freshman, he was dominant. He's gotten better every single year. He has that quick twitch, the ability to rush the quarterback. He's only getting better. So he has the intangibles that you cannot teach. Number two, another guy who we need to talk about more. Derek Stingley Jr. Yes, he was injured a lot this year. You're going to see highlights of his pro day. He ran a 4.37, right? Just came off of injury. This dude, when you turn on the tape, all you want to do is watch him and salivate. I could watch nothing else and just keep my eyes on him and get excited. He has great eyes. He stays in phase, and he's a big-time playmaker who's not afraid of contact. That's number two. And number three, Jahan Dotson very well might be the steal of this year's draft. So every single year at Penn State, he's gotten better. More receiving yards every single year. Mind you, Penn State is not necessarily a pass-heavy offense, especially compared to Ohio State. Look at where he's projected one of the later receivers to be picked. I understand that, but there are some really dominant receivers who have been picked later in the draft. Guys like Devontae Adams, 9th overall. Guys like Cooper Kupp, 7th overall. Guys like Justin Jefferson, 5th overall wide receiver taken. I like Jahan Dotson in that conversation.
Okay, let's bring Jordan Reed here into the conversation. Good morning, Jordan. Thanks for being with us this morning. So what are your thoughts on Dotson in this year's draft? We know it's a loaded wide receiver class yet again.
Yeah, I'm really excited about a lot of wide receivers in this draft class, and Chris Olave from Ohio State is one that I'm a big fan of. Just the way he's able to contort his body at the catch point, he brings a vertical dynamic to the football field as well, but also he led every category at Ohio State a year ago. He reminds me a lot of Will Fuller when he was coming out of Notre Dame a few years back, but I think with him, he's much more consistent as far as a catcher than what Fuller ever was. So Chris Olave is one that I'm really excited about. But also, Jameson Williams from Alabama, even though he tore the ACL in a national title game, the way he was able to come in and just affect that passing game, he's what I like to call a gear shift runner. He can sink his weight and go vertical, but also he can snap his routes off very cleanly and catch the football at all three levels of the football field.
Yeah, so again, a very loaded wide receiver class. And so at this point, Acho, there's teams like the Packers, and the Chiefs. I combined those two words, but that's what I was trying to say, that need to go out and they need to find a wide receiver to add to their group because they traded away their number one guys. And so is there a guy that maybe Jordan just mentioned or you talked about already, Acho, that they should be looking at?
Well, before I answer that, real quick to Jordan's point about Jameson Williams, because it's a good one. He's at one point in the season, he was the leader in explosive plays when it comes to receptions for college football receivers. So that's a great point on Jameson Williams. But for me, I get excited again about Jahan Dotson going to one of these teams later in the draft, whether it's the Kansas City Chiefs, the Green Bay Packers. I get the desire to want to be the first overall receiver taken. But sometimes you go later in the draft, you go to better teams, you get in a better system with better quarterbacks, and your production in the long run is so much better. And so for me, when you turn on the tape with Jahan Dotson, he makes outstanding catches. He's a crisp route runner. He's not afraid of going across the middle. And then your eyes pop open when he makes these astounding one-handed catches. Great focus, all these kinds of things. And so I get excited about Dotson to one of these teams that is a Super Bowl contender.
Quickly, Jordan, do you agree with Acho? Is there another guy that teams like the Packers and the Chiefs who really need to bolster that wide receiving room need to be looking at?
Yeah, I'm right there with him. I'm a big fan of Jahan Dotson, and I think outside of Drake London, I think he's the one receiver in this draft class that has the widest catch radius of any in this class. He's so gifted as far as his routes. He's very deceptive and decisive as a route runner, too. And then he's so gifted at the catch point, too. He has a very wide catch radius. He can go up and get the ball, too. So I'm really excited about Jahan Dotson. If I'm the Chiefs at 29 or 30, I would take him there. And then also the Packers with two first-round picks, I would take him with either one of those either.
All right, April 28th, it's all going down in Vegas, the NFL draft. We can't wait. Guys, thanks. We'll talk to you in a little bit. Coming up, the Dolphins are talking a confident game after some big offseason moves, but can their quarterback live up to the expectations? We're diving in on Tua next.